but when we die physically, we could be with God in heaven forever. That's Jesus. And Jesus came about 2,000 years ago. And while he was on the earth, he did a bunch of things to prove he was God. He did a bunch of miracles, including raising people from the dead. And that's, you know, not one of those miracles that's easy to kind of fake. Like, either you raise somebody from the dead or you don't. There's no, like, faking that one. He did that at least 3 times, to my knowledge. And then, you know, he himself died on a cross, was buried 3 days in the tomb, and then he raised from the dead. That's a hard trick to duplicate. Kind of authenticates the fact that Jesus is God. While Jesus was on the earth, he taught a group of men that he called his disciples, and an even more select group that he called his apostles. He taught them a bunch of things. And one of those times when he was teaching is what we're going to study here tonight. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he was teaching his disciples a bunch of things. But one of the things that he was teaching them is about things like giving, praying, and fasting. And last week we talked about giving, and this is what we said. It's easy to impress people. Right? Easy to impress people. If you're a 15-year-old boy, you impress people by, I don't know, doing push-ups, climbing stuff, I don't know, pushing littler kids down can be impressive. They try to muscle up or you know, prove yourself through athletics or whatever, things like that. If you're a girl, you try to be impressive by the way you look, oftentimes, the clothes you wear, the perfume you have, your cell phone. Look, I got a new phone. It has all this bling, da-da-da-da-da. You impress people. Is it bedazzled? Mine is not bedazzled. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good. Right, so it's easy to impress people, okay, but it's harder to impress God. And here's the ultimate question. Do you want to have another person impressed with you, or do you want to have God, the creator of heaven and earth, impressed with you? You can choose. If you want to have God impressed with you, there are ways to do that. And Jesus tells us how. If you want to have people impressed with you, I don't know, go find a YouTube video that has a million hits and watch it. And you'll probably go, that wasn't very impressive. But a million people watched it for some stupid reason. It wasn't very impressive, and yet people were impressed. So Jesus talks about how to impress people. And last week we talked about how money is impressive. This week he says don't try to impress people with prayer. So we're going to talk about that and then try to talk about a little bit how he does want us to pray. So we're going to pick up the story, Matthew chapter 6. Is that right? I'm in John chapter 6. That's not helpful. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Is that where we pick up the story? Okay, so here we are. I'm going to read out of the Bible, and while I'm reading out of the Bible, my expectation is that you're reading silently also. So put your eyes on the page, Matthew chapter 6. Lord have mercy. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, and this is what Jesus says. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you for the word. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus, who taught us what it means to be a Christian and how to live and how to serve and how to love and how to become more like Jesus is. We ask that you would reveal the truth here to us tonight, that we might not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word, that we would become like Jesus, who was obedient and loved people. Be with us, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So here's this goofy thing. Jesus gathers together his disciples, and he's like, okay, guys, here it is. This is all the stuff that's really super important. Pay really close attention. And so he gets to this passage on prayer, quit whispering, and he says this, don't do this. And I don't know if your teachers do this to you or not. Like, when they get ready to teach you how to do something, the first thing they say is what not to do. And it seems kind of backwards, but this is what Jesus says. He says, don't do this. And here's the thing that people of the day were doing. They were praying these big flowery prayers, standing in the street, praying out loud, which is stuff people don't do today because, well, you don't get glory in our world by standing on the corner praying. What you get by standing on the world on the corner praying around here is you get people who laugh at you and mock you and probably throw stuff at you, which is not what happened in Jesus' day. If people were standing on the corner, puffed up, praying and exalting God, oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like all of these sinners, and I thank you that you've blessed me, and people would look at them and go, well, you know, he's kind of right, I'm lowly, and he's amazing, and all this stuff. And what Jesus said was, this is wrong. Don't do it. Don't do it. So the same is true for us today. And sometimes in Christian circles, we still see this happen, where you have a little Bible study or even a couple of friends get together, and one kid will pray, and all the other kids will be like, oh, I don't want to pray after that kid because that kid actually, you know, knows the right words and stuff and knows how to pray the right way and like knows how to do it, and I don't know any of the right words. And here's what I would say. Look at my face. Ready? God doesn't care about the right words. He just wants you to pray. God is not impressed by your vocabulary. He just wants you to pray. You know, sometimes the most effective prayer is this. Ready? God, help me! Pretty straightforward, right? I think everyone could memorize this prayer if you needed to do a presentation on prayer. You could show up at class tomorrow and be like, I'm totally there. I know how to do this. Ready? God, help me. And your classmates would be like, wow. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. They'd look at you and be like, what is wrong with that person? I don't know. Maybe they forgot to take their medicine. I'm not sure what's going on exactly. Like, but you know what? Look at my face. Watch this now. The one who needed to hear the prayer, who knows your heart, he would be impressed. You see, when we recognize that we don't have it all together, when we recognize that we're missing something, when we recognize that we don't have the strength, that we don't have the power, that we don't have the authority, that we are lost and alone and afraid and scared, when we recognize that, that's when God starts to be impressed. You see, the world is impressed when we have the power, when we have the authority, when we stand on the chair and say, everyone, look at me! Then the world goes, wow, he must have something really important to say. And that's when God starts to go, seriously? Like I've never heard that before. But that's when men are like, oh, he must have something big to say. No, you know what God wants to hear? God wants to hear the truth of your heart. In whatever words come out, because he's not impressed by your vocabulary. He's not impressed by how elaborate your prayer is. Jesus goes on to talk about prayers that go on over and over and over again. In a lot of religions, They have special prayers that they have to pray. If this happens, I have to pray this prayer with these words in this way, and I have to do this over and over and over. I heard a guy who was a Jew, and we love Jews, and Jesus loves Jews, and there are some Jews that love Jesus and some Jews that don't love Jesus, but if Jews think that they can get to heaven by praying a certain prayer, they're wrong. And if Muslims think they can get to heaven by praying a certain prayer on a certain day in a certain way, they're wrong. The Bible says there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the truth, the way, and the life. He's the only way to get to heaven, period. So, let me pick it up. Let me show you something here. Read with me. Put your eyes on the page. Chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And when you pray," then look again, it says in chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says, "But when you pray," and then look again in verse 7, this is really complicated, but I think you can catch on. In verse 7, it says this, "And when you pray." You see, Jesus is trying to make sure that we have something stuck in our head. Praying is not optional. He doesn't say, if you decide to grace God with your amazing words, this is what you should do. No, he says, you're going to pray. And when you pray, do this. And when you pray, do this. And when you pray, do this. But the expectation is, you're going to be praying. Period. You're going to be praying. That's the expectation of Jesus. That's what he knows we're going to be doing. And the goofy thing is, atheists pray. I know lots of them. You know when they pray? When they're in the airplane and all of a sudden the captain comes on, we're all going to die. Right? And then they're like, oh God, help me! It's a very simple prayer. Powerful, though. Happens, though, right? We see it. We see it. It does happen. So here's the question. Jesus expects us to pray, but why do you think that we ought to pray? I need some volunteers who can flip their way through the Bible, okay? So I need somebody to go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, and I need somebody else, if you're not already there, to go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. So who's got 14, 23? Who's got 14, 23? You do? I need you to read it out loud, though. Who's got it? Who wants to read it? Okay, hang on. Nick, you're going to read it. 14, okay.
Read it out loud.
22, by the way. Feels weird. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone.
Okay, so wait. Jesus was hanging out with a bunch of people, and he dismissed them, and then he went, did you guys hear that? Onto the mountainside, and he prayed alone. He prayed alone. Good job reading, by the way. This is the part that staggers my mind sometimes. Jesus is God. And yet he took time out of his schedule to pray. Jesus took time to pray. He did it. Okay, who's got 26:36? Garrett, you're dying, right? Oh, you want to read it? Okay, 26:36. Read it out loud.
Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray."
Okay, so let me give you a little bit of the background. Jesus is, guys, okay, quit looking at the scriptures for a minute, and let me say this. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He is about to be betrayed. He's got some people around him, and guess what he does? He goes and he prays. Jesus prayed. Do you have a question, Aaron? Okay, what's your question? he praying to? It's a good question. Like, wait, how come God is praying to God? That doesn't even make sense, right? It's part of the Trinity. So let me try to explain this as quick as I can. It's part of the Trinity, and the Trinity is the great mystery in all Christianity that's impossible to understand. But let me give you as best I can. God is three parts. God the Father, girls, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are three parts of one God. And the best description is like H2O. What's H2O? Say it out loud. It's, most of us call it water, but it's got three states. Water can be frozen, and then it's called ice. Water can be liquid, and then it's called water. Water can be gas, and then it's called steam. It's three different substances, but it's one substance. You have a question, too? No. An angel didn't. An angel didn't make Jesus. The Holy Spirit descended on a woman. Her name is Mary, and she became pregnant with Jesus, but not from an angel. No. I can show you the scripture after. Remind me, and I'll show you where that's at. Okay, so how does God pray to God? It's not possible, and yet it's possible, because just like I'm gonna give you a bad example, but it's kind of like this. Have you ever had a conversation with yourself inside your own head? Okay. Okay, so here's how it works. It's kind of like that, but different. It's kind of like that, but different. I hope that kind of makes some sense. By the way, if you're talking to yourself, you're perfectly normal. If you're answering yourself, you're crazy. So, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Seriously? Have you not been paying attention? What are you saying? So anyway, for sure, yes. Okay, so Jesus' expectation is for us to pray. That's the expectation. That's the baseline. But why do we pray? First, he was an example, right? Just like Kimber just said, he's an example, and we had a couple people read about his example, the example that he set. And the truth is, he went away from the rest of his group many times and prayed. And sometimes, you guys are going to be amazed, junior hires, listen to this. Jesus prayed sometimes overnight. Not like he started praying at 9 and he finished praying at 9:11. Like he started praying at 9 and he finished praying at 6 a.m. Like he stayed up all night and prayed. Okay, and you know how this works? Watch, I show you this. How many of you have been in love? Oh, it's so cute. And if you haven't been in love, you know somebody who has been in love. And guess what can happen? Watch this now. I'll show you guys this. Somebody who's in love, make the aw sound for me. Aw. If they're in love, this is what happens. I don't need stories because I could tell you the story. But watch this. This is what happens. When you're in love, listen, just listen. This is what especially girls, but sometimes boys, will report to their friends. We were on the phone for like 6 hours, and the time just zoomed by. I didn't even notice it. And you go, like, what? Like, doesn't your ear turn into a swamp when it's stuck to the phone that long? I don't even know what's going on. It gets all sticky, and like you have to switch ears, and then you switch back. Pretty soon, both your ears are like numb, and like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. So anyway, speakerphone. Here's what happens. So look at my face. When you're in love with somebody, talking to them for extended periods of time, it's not that weird. It's not that hard. You just talk. You talk and 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 you talk about your day and you talk about what you think, you talk about what you feel, and then they're talking and telling you, and then this is conversation. It's a conversation. So Why do we pray? Jesus, the expectation is we're going to pray. Why do we pray? Here's another thing. Jesus told us that we ought to be praying. Okay, and this is a hard book. Who can get me to 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians, I think. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Kimber, will you read it out loud for us? 5:17.
Pray continually.
This is a complicated verse, right? Very complex. It says this, pray continually. Whew, I don't know. That's pretty good. It's like, that's a tough verse. Okay, so pray continually. Jesus told us to pray. Okay, so I got another one for you. Watch this now. Look at my face. This is the one that's hard for us, and this is the one that determines how much we pray. Prayer works. Okay, so quit flipping through your Bibles and look at my face. Prayer works. Prayer doesn't sometimes work. Prayer doesn't often work. Prayer doesn't work if everything lines up. Prayer works, and here's how prayer works. Prayer works because God either says yes, no, or later. Yes, no, or later. So let me give you this. When Jesus is referring to God, he almost always says, Father. And I want you guys to get this. I'm a dad. Okay? Not so complicated. I'm a dad. I've got 3 children, 2 of them in the room. You probably know some of them. Let me get through this for just a second. So God is the Father. And when we pray, it's like talking to a good, loving dad. So let me give you an example. When my kids were little, like if one of my kids was little, 2 years old, comes over to me, tugs on my pant leg, Daddy, can I have some Cheerios? Is that a complicated prayer? No. Want some Cheerios? Pretty simple. Do you get some Cheerios? Sure. Let me get you a cup and we'll get you some Cheerios. It's all good. I can handle that. Like I'm a loving dad. Now let me see your guys' eyeballs for a minute, because not everyone in here has a great relationship with their dad. Okay? So let me say this. God is a loving dad. And when Jesus referred to him, he didn't say, "Oh, Father, I beseech you to give unto me sustenance." No, that's not how Jesus prayed at all. This is how Jesus prays. Jesus prays like this. Daddy, will you help me? And these are the kinds of prayers that dads love to answer. When children come to their fathers and they say, "Dad, will you help me?" Dads will almost always say, "Yes. Dad, will you help me? If I can find a way to help you, I'll help you." So if my 2-year-old comes to me and yanks on my pant leg and he says, "Daddy, I want some sharp scissors." Here's what I'm going to say. Absolutely, sharp scissors later. You're 2, you don't need sharp scissors today. Okay? We're not doing the sharp scissor thing until you're a little bit older. And that's sometimes what we pray for, and that's what God says to us. Later. Later. Okay? He's not saying no, he's saying later. But I'll tell you this, as a loving parent, as a loving dad, if my 2-year-old comes and tugs on my leg, Daddy, yeah, what do you need? I want a Ferrari. Okay, so guess what I'm saying? No. No, you can't have a Ferrari. The answer's no. This isn't complicated. No. Maybe if you can afford your own Ferrari because, I don't know, some miracle of God or whatever, but you're asking me, and I once was a teacher and now I'm a pastor and I don't have money for a Ferrari. And I'm probably never going to have money for a Ferrari, okay? You can have a Matchbox car Ferrari, But, okay, so I can't even afford to put gas in a Ferrari. So I'm just saying, you get. Does this make sense? That God is a loving dad, and he wants to answer your prayers. The image that I get when I think about it is this. It's a loving dad sitting on the edge of his seat saying, ask. And here's the issue. Sometimes we ask and we don't get it. Or there's a delay or there's something going on. And I just want you to scroll through this with me real quick because I've got some, there's some things going on here. Who can get to Mark 11:25? Mark 11:25. Mark 11:25. You're there? 11:25. Go ahead. Will you read it for me? Mark 11:25 says this.
And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins.
Okay, so one of the things that we do is this, okay? Watch this now. We make this determination that we need something or we want something or we've done something wrong and we need God to forgive us. And this is what he says, when you stand praying, make sure you forgive others. So I have this question for you. This is a rhetorical question, but look at my eyeballs. And don't, rhetorical means I don't want an out loud answer. So don't answer it out loud. It's a rhetorical question. How many of you have gone to your parents to ask for something after you just did something horrible to your sibling? It's not an out loud answer. But here's one of the things that we do. We do horrible things to other people whom God loves, and then we go and ask God for stuff. And as a loving father, here's what he says. He says, get right with the people in your life before you come talk to me. He says, if you've hurt somebody else, go make it right with them first. If somebody else has hurt your feelings and you've got some bitterness in your heart because somebody said something or did something to you, you need to go and square it away with them before you come to God. That's what he's saying. Okay? So, it doesn't mean the answer is no. It doesn't even mean the answer is later. It just means sometimes it means you need to get your stuff figured out before you go and ask God. Get your life squared away. We're going to go to the book of James. So everybody go to the book of James chapter 1. I don't even know what page that's on. Book of James. When somebody gets there, tell me what page it's on. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. 837. 837. 8. There's not going to be a page number at the top. 836. Yeah, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. All right, I'm going to read a little bit here. So we're going to start in verse 2. So I want you guys to follow along. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. You guys there? Say amen if you're on James chapter 1, verse 2. You don't even have a Bible. You don't get to say amen. Look on somebody else's Bible. All right. James chapter 1, verse 2. By the way, this man who wrote the book of James was Jesus' brother. Yes, he had brothers. This was one of them. His name is James. He had a brother. James chapter 1, verse 2. Ready? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. That doesn't sound like fun, but we're going to move on. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Okay, so verse 5 says this. Put your eyes on the page. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Okay, so look at me for just a second. This is one of the questions that I get all of the time. Look at my face. I get this question a lot. Pastor Chris, I don't know what to do. Like, I've got this situation, and I'm not sure what to do. I don't know if that happens to you guys, but if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will soon. If it's already happened to you, it will happen again. Doesn't matter how old you get, eventually you get to the place where you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, a way to describe that is, you lack wisdom. You lack wisdom. And this is what the Bible says about lacking wisdom. Put your eyes on the page. Verse 5. Put your eyes on the page, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. This is a simple prayer. Watch this now. I'm going to pray. God, please give me wisdom. Wow, like such an eloquent prayer. Oh my goodness, that would be a hard one to memorize. God, please give me wisdom. Okay, but we're not done yet, because watch what happens after this. Lots of times people pray this, but then they miss the rest. Verse 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Wait, so there's a condition to the promise. The promise is, I don't know what to do. I ask God for wisdom. The condition is you have to believe that you're going to get what you ask for. You have to have faith. In fact, in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, it says it this way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to believe. The beautiful thing is, he gives you the faith you need. How many of you guys have seen Indiana Jones? Got your attention now, huh? Oh, he's talking about a movie. That's a sweet movie. Okay, there's three movies in Indiana Jones series. Oh, that's right. There's a new stupid one. I mean, fantastic one. In the third movie, there's a scene in the movie where Indiana Jones has to get to the place where the special, you know, cup is, and he's going to get the cup, and then he takes the water back to his dad, who's dying of a gunshot wound, right? And he gets to this place. He gets to this place where in the little book that he's reading out of, it says, only a leap from the lion's mouth or head will a man prove his worth. In other words, it's a walk of faith, right? And there's this picture of a guy who's got his foot out over this great canyon, and he knows if he just steps out, he's going to fall like 1,000 feet and land on rocks and go. Yeah, I don't think he's going to say, ow, actually. He's just going to go. Yeah, he might scream on the way down, right? Are you familiar with the scene? Nod your head. Yeah, lots of you are familiar with the scene. So what happens? He does this, and he takes a step, and after he takes his step, this bridge appears. And it's a great illustration of this. Listen. The answer to your prayer is already there. Faith just makes it visible. Did you guys hear that? Let me say that again. The answer to your prayer is already there. Faith just makes it visible. Because faith makes the invisible visible. You see, I can't see Jesus Christ. He doesn't come over to my house for soup on Tuesdays. He doesn't text. I don't send Jesus text messages. He doesn't post stuff on my Facebook wall. It would be cool, except here's the thing. Listen, because this is huge. This is monumental. This is staggering. So stop talking for a minute. It's the faith in Jesus that makes the invisible visible. It's the faith in Jesus that makes him who is invisible visible to your eyes. And you're not going to see him with your physical eyes, but you will understand, you will comprehend, you will sense with your spirit that he really is there. And I'm not sure every one of you has a relationship with Jesus tonight, but if you want a relationship with Jesus, you have to have faith and pray a simple prayer. Pretty straightforward. And then you go from your eternal destiny is hell, and you change, and your eternal destiny becomes heaven, which is the perfect place where there is no weeping, there is no crying. Okay, I'm going to 1 John. So a few more pages to 1 John. We're almost done, by the way. I know you guys have been really good tonight. I appreciate it. We're going to 1 John. So from James, it's just another, 10 pages or something to 1 John? Page 737, 1 John chapter 5, 844. 1 John chapter 5, 844. 846. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 14. We'll start in verse 13. Start in verse 13. This is where we'll end, and then we'll pray. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Put your eyes on the page. Here we go. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says this. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So this is cool on many levels. I'm just going to explain this. We're going to pray, and we're out of here. This is cool on many levels. The first level it's cool on is that it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God in verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay? So last little bit about prayer, and then I'm going to end with the beginning. God doesn't give us everything. That much is clear. I mean, if he gave us everything, have you guys seen Bruce Almighty? A couple of you seen Bruce Almighty? How does it work? He just answers yes to every prayer, and the next thing, goofy stuff's going on all across the world. He doesn't do that. He says yes to the prayers, and watch, Taylor, what happens. He says yes to the prayers in accordance to his will. In accordance to his will. Yes to the prayers that are in accordance to his will. So all we have to do is figure out what his will is. If any of you lack wisdom, just pray and ask for wisdom. And then you'll know what his will is, and then you know how to pray. It's pretty straightforward. So I'll end with the beginning. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Prayer's a big deal. Jesus expects us to pray. He expects us to pray, and not with many words, and not with babbling, and not with some kind of, goofy rocking motion, or kneeling, or laying, or weird, or, yeah. He doesn't expect jazz hands when you're praying. He just wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. And this is the truth. Whether you believe that Jesus is God and he rose from the dead and he came to save you from your sins or not, he still listens. He still listens. I want to give an opportunity for people who haven't committed their lives to Jesus. And he makes this pretty clear. He says, count the cost because I want everything. But I want to make room tonight for people who haven't committed their heart to Jesus. And this is what he expects. He says, you have to believe that I am who I say I am. So that means I'm Jesus, Son of God, fully God, fully man. You have to believe that. And then you have to ask for forgiveness of your sins, and you have to give me your life. You have to trust me with your life. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head tonight and close their eyes tonight. And we're going to pray together. And if you want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ tonight, I'm going to give you that chance in just a second. Bob, will you turn off half the lights for me? And we're going to pray. Will you just do me the favor, even if you don't want any part of this, that's fine. Will you just close your eyes so the people around you have some privacy? We're going to pray tonight. Father God, we thank you so much that you did send Jesus to earth for us. And Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you came willingly knowing that you were going to have to live a perfect life and that you were going to have to die on a cross for our sins. Because we know that we do things that aren't right. Things that are mean and things that are hurtful. We say and do things that hurt other people and even things that hurt ourselves. And we recognize that that's sin, but we pray that you forgive us. We thank you, Jesus, that you have the power to forgive our sins forever. You forgive our sins. Help us, Lord, with this lesson about prayer to pray more. Not that we have many eloquent words, just that we recognize that we don't have it all together and we do need your help. And right now, in the quiet, with no eyes up, I want to ask you this question. If you want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, you can do it right now. It's very simple. You just need to pray a simple prayer. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to take your life and make it worth everything. If that's you tonight, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus and you want to do that tonight, will you just look at me straight in the eyeballs? You want to do that tonight? Okay, amen. Anybody else? You want to do that tonight? Yeah? Okay, praise God. Do you want to do that tonight? Yeah? Praise God. You want to do that tonight? Okay. You want to do that tonight also? Yeah? Okay. And you? Yeah? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. What we're going to do now, keep your heads down for a minute. I'm going to give some simple directions. Basically, all I want you to do is I want you to repeat after me. I'm going to pray a few words, and I want everyone to say them nice and loud. Not like this. Dear Jesus. Nice and loud. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray nice and loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming for me. I have sin in my life. Will you forgive me, please? I want to commit my life to you and you alone. I am now yours. Thank you for saving me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If tonight was the first night that you ever prayed that kind of a prayer, I would love to talk with you for just a few minutes and welcome you to the family. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'd like to make sure that you have a few things. I'd like to make sure you have a Bible. I'd like to make sure you have a friend that you can count on and those kinds of things. So in a few minutes, I'm going to go in that room, and you guys can just come over there when you have a minute, and I'll just explain a few things. Like I said, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you do any like jumping jacks or anything weird. I just want to explain some things real quick. So I love you guys. You are dismissed.